Good morning, church. I would like to start off by sharing a powerful heritage that I have. I grew up in a Christian home. Of course, I got a lot of influence coming from my dad and my mom growing up in that environment. And it was such a strong environment of just focusing on our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could prove to you that that heritage was so strong, because when I was in the fifth grade, in one instance in my life, when I was in the fifth grade, it was rainy season, and I love mangoes. So going to school, I have to wear my boots. And after a while, I noticed that red mango in that tree, and I said, "I'm gonna get you." So when class was dismissed, I was so drawn to it. I climbed the mango tree, and because it just rained so hard that day, and I was wearing my boots, I slipped. And when I hit the ground, I couldn't breathe. And I remembered saying, "Dear Lord, remember me when I get into your kingdom." So it's a powerful heritage. And I've noticed a lot of different changes also in my faith's journey. And this new series that we have actually reinforced what I have with the Lord. And we are opening up a new series in our preaching here in the pulpit. And the series would be The Perfect and Superior King. It would be in the study of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. Last Sunday was a powerful preaching also on the authority of the king and how Jesus Christ is so powerful against disease and nature. Such a powerful message that we pray as the elders of this church would stay with us, that our love relationship and our journey with the Lord would go on. So my assignment would be on the book of Hebrews, the title, Jesus is Greater. And the text would be in Hebrews 1:1-14 and chapter number 2, verses 1 to 4. The earliest possible date of the letter is around AD 65. And the author's strong Jewish heritage and knowledge of the Old Testament gives a hint that the writer of this book is Jewish. There are various ideas of the authorship of the book. Some would attribute it to the Apostle Paul, Barnabas, and Apollos. But the most famous opinion of the writer of the book came from Origen, which is the only God knows. Ain't that the fact? That covers everything, doesn't it? Only God knows who wrote this book. The broad theme of the book implies that a group of Jewish believers were considering regressing back to Judaism. Remember now, this is the early church. This is the early church. They have converted from Judaism to Christianity. So if they're regressing back to to Judaism, this in essence is saying we are rejecting Christ. That's very dangerous. And we have this struggle also through the writings of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4 and verses number 1. The Spirit clearly says that in the last days many will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. You would probably know of a brother in the Lord or sister in the Lord that you grew up together during your early years, and I know of some that has abandoned the faith. I know of one very close friend in my workplace that we even shared sitting down about the Lord, but now he is living away from him. In our text this morning, I would like to go and help each and every one of us in breaking this out into three parts. Part one of the message would be focused on the message to the ancestors. And part two, there would be a message about angels. And in part three, we have the exhortation not to ignore the revelation of God in his Son. So in part one, it's breaking down further into two parts. Now, I hope that when we leave the sanctuary, we will not be thinking about so much of these parts, but this is to help us. Number one, it says here, the supremacy of God's new revelation, verses 1 and 1 to 2. It says here, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he has provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. God has spoken. In other words, in the time of their ancestors and the times of the prophets, God has spoken a message. The author reminds us, or reminds his Jewish readers, of their ancestors' expectation through God's revelation of a coming Savior or a Redeemer. Note, the crisis in verse number 4 says, purification for sins. And we know all this story. Genesis 3:10, when Adam said, I was afraid because I was naked when they have sinned. And the progression of sin, the sin crisis in Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw how great is the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The heart of man was so saturated and drawn into evil. So the crisis speaks to itself, that we are all saturated by sin. Now, there is an important transition here that I would like to remind us all. It says here in verse number 2, but in these last days, in these last days, yes, we have, in the past, God has spoken to our ancestors, but in these last days, this is something powerful that we need to catch as his people. Now, alongside God speaking to the ancestors, God also gave them the knowledge about a space holder. I call it a space holder. And this space holder, alongside the word that has been released to the ancestors, are the sacrifices of the animals. In Exodus 12:13, it says here, the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when you see the blood, I will pass over you. No destruction plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. And this space holder speaks about that time when the true Lamb of God would be coming. Amen? It's a space holder. I remember when we were in Sweet Tomato restaurant, my brother-in-law, you know, would be, because some of us are late, he would be standing in the parking area, and say, and somebody would be coming, and he would be saying, "I'm standing here, this is our spot." He's a space holder. And of course, most of the Americans don't know the meaning of a space holder, so my brother-in-law has no choice but to move over. In the Philippines, this is very popular. You go to the NBI, and you're falling in line, and there's this guy ahead of you with a bottle. Whenever the line's moving, he's moving the bottle. And it's like, what's with the bottle? So when the right person came, the right person picked up the bottle, and this is my spot. He is a space, the bottle was a space holder. Now, going on in scripture over here, it says here in Hebrews 10, same book, God's testimony through the Holy Spirit talking about the old or our ancestors. It says here, Hebrews 10, verse 10, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty of their sin. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Note, take away sins. The blood of goats and bulls and pigeons only covers. It never takes away sins. Amen. Sacrifice and offerings entails the spilling of blood. Amen. And it says here, continuing in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 5, it says here, therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. If with burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased, then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. That's why in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. It was a Word. It was a promise to the ancestors. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse number 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of one and only begotten Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. It is written about me in the scroll, he said. I have come to do your will. Wow. Wow. In part number 2, it says here, message to the about the angels. We're moving along. Christ is superior to the angels. And then scriptural proof of his superiority. Underneath that, the Father endorses the Son. It says here, Hebrews 1, 5 to 7, 7 and verse number 14, the Son, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my Son? Today I have become your Father. Or again, I will be my Father and he will be my Son. Of course, we know the answer. Not one of the angels has been addressed as the Son of God. That's the answer. And again, when God brings his firstborn to the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. That speaks of the superiority of this Son. In speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire. Although angels are magnificent and powerful creatures, the Son has a unique position in the household of God Almighty. Angels are helpers. They are messengers. But the Son is an heir. The Son is an heir. That puts him way up there. And God charges angels. Angels shall worship him. And it says here, actually, all God's angels will worship him. There's no exception. That's how powerful this Son is. Amen? Revelations 22:8-9, it's a powerful message where John was seeing and hearing all this revelation from God, and he dropped by prostrating himself to the angel, and the angel said, "Stop! Don't worship me. I am a servant just like you." Amen? Now going on, but about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions and anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, they will change, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." Wow. This is the Father talking about his Son. He's God's Son. Actually, our favorite verse over here growing up also is John 3:16, right? When I was looking at the different translations, you know, we have translation, "His only Son." Then we have some also saying, "His only begotten Son." But I love this one. "His one and only Son." Do you remember Matthew 21, 36-38? It talks about this. When the owner of the field sent his servants to get their share, the tenants killed the servants. And then he sent another servant, and the tenants killed that servant again. On and on. And then until finally, he said, "I'm going to send my Son because my Son, they're going to respect my Son." But what did they do to the Son? They said, "This is the heir. Let's kill this Son and the inheritance will be ours." You know the effect of that to the father, to the owner of the land, of the vineyard? It's he is going to unleash his wrath because this is his Son. His only Son. The Son's blood is God's blood, sufficient to give salvation for all time and all ages. That's how powerful the blood of the Son is. "A body you have prepared for me," he said. The Son's blood is God's blood. Remember the space holder? Remember the space holder? Even Abraham said, even Jesus said about Abraham, speaking about Abraham, "Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced in it." Because Abraham knew that a Redeemer is coming, a Savior is coming, and by his blood we will be saved. The animal's innocent blood covered the sins, but when Christ's blood was spilt on the cross, all humanity that would believe on this Lamb of God and believe the power of his blood will be saved. I'm also reminded of Moses and Elijah during the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember that story? It is not because of the lamb of the blood of the lambs and the blood of the bulls and pigeons that Moses and Elijah are in paradise and in heaven. It is not. Lest a person that would be in heaven would be saying, because I've sacrificed so and so many bulls, so and so many goats and lambs, that I am here. Remember what Jesus said. No one could come to the Father except through me. So when Christ died, those people that would be believing in him in the future, and those people that had anticipated by faith of the coming of the Lamb, the true Lamb of God, their sins has been placed on Christ. God made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God through him, past and future. Amen? I'm not mad. I'm just preaching. Part three. Exhortation not to ignore the revelation of God in his Son. In Hebrews 2:1-4, it says there, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. And there's a lot of drifters in this time. People that we know, neighbors, friends, office mates, classmates, there's a lot of them that are drifting away. For since the message spoken through the angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience receive its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. How could we escape? How could your brother, sister, son, daughter escape without embracing this Savior, the Son of God? John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one. Revelation 12:10-11 reads, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of the Messiah. For the accuser of the brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They triumph over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Past, present, and future. From Adam, the ancestors, Jewish, Gentiles, from every tribe, from every nation, and everywhere around the world. Amen. What a glorious Savior we have. And the book of Hebrews is addressing this to the brethren of not to go back to Judaism, because by faith we have the true thing. Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one could be justified. No one. How shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? Other escape schemes that we hear of, that we see, are carnal and demonic, because there's only one true way. Jesus is the only way. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. 1 Peter 3:18. 1 Peter 3:18 says, Let me read that. I know I could quote it, but 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ died for our sins once and for all. The righteous for the unrighteous to bring us to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. When you look at that verse, for Christ died, there is pain there. There is blood there. Christ died for our sins once and for all. He doesn't need to come back again and die again. Just like the cows, you know, they have to do it again next year. The pigeons, they have to do it again next year. But Christ died for our sins once and for all. John 6, it says here in 60 and 69, on hearing it, many of the disciples of Christ said, "This is hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of Spirit and life. Yet there is some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him." He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one come to me unless the Father has enabled him. For this time, his disciples turned and no longer followed him." "Do you want to leave me too?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." And I echo that same word, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Christ is the final and the only way to God. He is the final and the only way to God. This is what we call the last trip. I remember I studied at a university that's 6 hours away from my home. And sometimes I have to go home in the Friday night to be with my family on Saturday, and Sunday a night in the afternoon I could go back. It's 6 hours away. And in one instance, I vividly remember that the dispatcher was saying, "Last trip, last trip." And I was running and trying to chase this last trip. My position in the last trip was only my right foot was in the steps of the bus. And I was hanging to my life on the step. And thank God, you know, when there was this person that grabbed me on my shirt and tried to squeeze me inside the bus. And I was so happy that I was able to make it home. But if I miss that trip and morning comes, there is another trip. There is another opportunity for me to go home. Right? There is another way for me to go home. But brothers and sisters, I tell you, in this trip for heaven, there is only one trip. There is only one way. It is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's why when we had our communion over here, this is such a meaningful place also for us to do communion. We remember the bread and the blood, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Testifying. Get excited about our communion also. Testifying that we are attached to Him through His body and through His blood. Oh, victory in Jesus. I heard of an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loves me ere I know Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Jesus, when He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, no man comes to the Father except through me. To God be the glory. Amen.